perhaps wishes to do something that restricts the amount of money that a legislator is entitled to by statute, then we are definitely on shaky ground. For example, right now we do have a provision that entitles a legislator to per diem. If Ledge Council, through policy, wanted to modify that and offer in lieu of per diem actual expenses, your policy would be in direct conflict at that point with the statute.
Would you care to comment on that section in the law that says where the other than legislator part is?
Yes, that's just a terribly awkward provision that I found. It's in the statute dealing with boards and commissions, 392180. And it purports to establish per diem for legislators, as near as I can tell, who find themselves for some reason or other serving on a board or commission. I suspect that would not, as a practical matter, arise too often. We'd probably have a dual office holding problem if that were to arise. But nevertheless, this statute, which applies to boards and commissions, does specifically include legislators in its application. I have to recommend that be cleaned up in any case.
And we do have legislators serving on commissions regularly.
Right. Well, then, yes, but for the treatment of per diem, does this provision on boards and commissions mean that you receive per diem as a member of a board or commission or as a member of the legislature? This statute purports to give you per diem as a member of a board or commission, and possibly because you are entitled to per diem as a legislator, you actually get per diem as a legislator as well under 2410.105. But that's very odd, because the statute says this section exclusively governs and supersedes all other law, and that it applies to legislators for as payments for expenses of transportation and or reimbursement for per diem, because they are entitled to to expenses or per diem in lieu of reimbursement. So this statute also raises an implication that the statutory structure of legislative per diem is for payment of expenses or per diem in lieu of expenses. So to the extent that 3920.180 is used as a basis of explaining the operation of your per diem statute under 24, then Senator Bennett's bill is necessary, because it does provide for both per diem and payment of expenses. Not in lieu of, but as a dual. So this section here, I think, bears looking at as well.
Representative Culkin.
Thank you. I know that the post-secondary commission in which I serve does give per diem, but in that situation, one doesn't collect the legislative per diem. It's one or the other. That seems to be the way that all of these are operating. One doesn't collect them from sources. So no dual payment that I've been aware of.
It would appear to me that would be the desired result as a policy matter. As I say, I expect that if the legislature wishes to go forward with a policy such as that represented by Senator Bennett's bill, that could be defended. My main concern is facing the argument that since statutes deal with these subjects, do they in fact preempt that field?
Senator Fates.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just for the information of this body, I would prefer something like the Bennett proposed bill, mainly because of a problem that the Speaker and I are having on Section 3. When we ask legislators to conduct legislative business or attend a meeting in a lower 48 city or the NCSL or the Western State Conferences or whatever, current practice does not allow for the repayment of actual expenses of those legislators. And a recent trip to Washington, D.C. cost each legislator approximately $300 apiece per day, and they were reimbursed $80 or $90, and that was cumbersome for us, because the Legislative Affairs Agency is requiring a special memorandum asking for a special dispensation on a hardly ever used regulation that requires actual expenses be paid. I don't think that's fair to the body or the individual legislators being sent on a trip if their actual expenses brought back by receipts, I mean, the actual receipts brought back cannot be reimbursed. So for anything else, Section 3 is definitely needed, because it's very cumbersome and quite unfair to send a legislator on legislative business somewhere if you can't reimburse their actual expenses proved by receipts. So it's a problem for the presiding officers, and one I think we need to take care of, unless we don't want, it's a policy of this body that we aren't going to send people off unless they're willing to pay their own bills.
Well, I certainly, for one, am not willing to, in that, you know, I've been traveling with the,
Western States.
No, with NWAR hearings, and it's caused an amount. But it's, the interpretation is, you know, that you get the $31 food allowance and then $49 for the hotel. And to date, I've left it at that. But it's something I'm not willing to live with. So,
Madam Chairman, if you will just ask me what the others have done, or various others have done, is that you give me all your receipts and I have to prepare a memo saying, please reimburse Senator Fahrenkamp for this trip with these receipts under this regulation number. And then, with that paper trail, they will do it. But that's why I need Section 3, so that we avoid that encumbrance of both myself and for the legislator involved.
Senator Bennett, would you like to proceed?
I think the member has, I'm sure, the member has a copy of the document that I had drafted, and I took the liberty of having it drafted in bill form, just so that whatever the committee desires, if you want to do it by motion, do it by policy, so be it. And likewise, if they want to bill it or two, so be it. Going down the entirety of the bill, it's fairly much like it was a number of years ago, and that the dollars have changed, but the situation's about the same. That during the session, each member would receive $80 per day. So we put it 10 days before and 10 days after. But basically what you have is there's always a gear up, get ready, get your staff, get things going. Likewise, when the gavel goes down, you always have at least 7 to 10 days to orderly close out your office, transfer stuff, ship it back to your home. And past years, we've had little hang-ups with staff. People, like the gavel goes down, immediately your secretary and all your staff goes off the payroll. And there's been very, very many difficulties brought on by that. And I think that this 10 days either way would allow for an orderly activation of the legislature and an orderly secession of the legislature. Going on down in Section 3 there, we're addressing Section 2C, we're addressing basically legislators like Van Homer who live here at Juneau, and theirs would be $60 a day. We've already touched over in Section 3, which would be actual expenses. If, in fact, you're in session, you are here, and, in fact, you're sent to Washington, D.C., or some other place on official state business to where you can be reimbursed for any amount of actual expenses germane to state business. The only exception is the old one that's always been in there, $10. Any expenditure less than $10, you can just write it yourself without documenting a receipt. That normally covers short taxis, telephones, that sort of thing.
What is the pleasure of council? Do you feel that we should go, or what is your pleasure, Senator? Do you want to go with this in bill form, or?
I guess the proper word is I'm ambidextrous, either way. whatever the group desire is, that's what we'll do.
Should be putting it on.
Randy?
Well, I haven't traveled in about 4 or 5 years, so I don't know. Can you focus in on, for me, what the problem is? Why, I mean, why are we here right now real short? Real short, like a Reader's Digest version.
Reader's Digest version, we are receiving $80 a day per diem.
Right.
We can stay here in session and not make these trips, receive $80 a day per diem. If you go somewhere, you get $49 for your hotel, no matter what it costs. $31 for food, and then there's a question about whether even you should receive per diem. So it's It's a very big problem, yes.
If I might, Representative Phillips, just as a case in point, I traveled recently in the direction of the president, back to the local president, not the Washington, Ronnie Reagan, back to Washington, D.C., for the purpose of Anwar and to be with several of the federal departments there. The hotel, et cetera, was something very close to $200 a day. The running around and all that, taxis going from the Hill and going to the Secretary of Interior Department, going to the U.S. Senator's offices and all that stuff. Average, probably I was burning, give or take, $250 a day. Every bit, every nickel, official state business. What happens is you get $49 a day, pretty well equates up, that any one of you to go on that side of the trip purely on state business to do the business of the people in the state of Alaska, going to cost you $150 a day to carry on the people's business. And this is what this section takes care of.
Randy?
But did the judge say there should be some kind of limit? I mean, you can stay in New York, go to Astoria, or, you know?
Well, obviously.
Well, you know, I think there ought to be some kind of limit. I mean, you just can't leave it unlimited.
Talk to the hotels.
Pardon?
Talk to the hotels and the food dispensers.
Well,
what this does,
I'm talking about public policy now.
What this does is actual expense. That's, I mean, you don't.
What is actual
expense? You bring the receipts back for.
Yeah, but what is actual expense?
I mean, depends on where you go. If you go to Barrow or some of these places, it may be $150 a night. If you go to Washington, D.C., it could be as much as $250 a night. That's just for the hotel.
Okay, in the old days, they used to have a schedule of per diem anywhere in the world. I mean, obviously, there's higher cost of living in Iceland versus New York or whatever. Are you still limited with that $80 a day or the 49 plus whatever? Or do we have a scale of per diem depending where you're traveling in the world?
Well, at this stage, we don't have anything. We just left from a salary with no per diem. And
okay,
that's why this is before.
Okay, well, I know years ago they used to have a little booklet, and you had, depending where you're going, they looked it up. Oh, yeah, it's this amount wherever you're going. So I think there ought to be some kind of limit. I don't think we ought to just leave it wide open.
Madam Chairman, I think Mr. Phillips is absolutely right. But there was an option to file actual expense or to take the given rate per diem for that area. In many cases, people took the actual rate of per diem for that area. You know, hypothetically, under that scenario, which we're not under anymore, if you went up to Anchorage and you stayed with a friend and you ate bologna sandwiches with a friend, obviously, if you had to bring receipts, you couldn't collect for it. But on the other hand, under that old system, you got the $80 flat out, whether it may not cost you anything. Where this way here, if you're traveling during session, you only get reimbursed for actual expenses. So if you crash with somebody, well, then the state saves.
Central license and center fakes.
Madam Chair, I'm just curious. I suspect that this would be in line with the commissioners get when they go back to Washington, D.C. I suspect that if they get $80 a day and they put out $200 for a hotel, they're not going to be very happy either. So I imagine they turn it an expensive. Is that the way they handle it? So, you know, state business.
Senator Fakes.
There is a regulation in the Administrative Procedures Act that I quote when I turn in my memo requesting prepayment of expenses for these various trips. So there is in the Administrative Procedures Act this kind of language, and that's what we're using right now. But and just to, you know, sometimes when the NCSL has a meeting or the Western States Conference, and the hotel is booked, you don't have a choice where you're staying. The hotel is booked, everybody else is staying there, and I guess you could say, well, I'm sorry, this place is too expensive for me, I'm going to go to the Holiday Inn, you know, 3 miles down the road or something. And that's, I guess that's an option we could discuss, but a lot of times it's simply not practical.
Then you have to rent a car to go back.
Well, I think the decision before us is do you want to vote a policy or shall we go with the bill?
Bill.
I mean, you've heard the
bill. That way everybody gets a shot at it.
I think we should go with the bill.
Madam Chair.
Very well, then, Senator Bennett, you'll be putting your bill in.
Madam Chair, we can put it in, at your pleasure, we can put it in as a council-sponsored bill introduced to the Rules Committee.
To both houses at the same time? Fine, let's just do that then. Is there objection to that? Very well, moving along then. Procurement procedures, Senator Fates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, this may be a half an hour or 40-minute presentation. It's 6:10, do you wish to carry on, or do you want to postpone to the next meeting?
Shall we?
I will do whatever the chairman wishes.
We are supposed to be in a teleconference. Would it be agreeable with this group if we, since next Tuesday is our regular time, if we meet next Tuesday and take, start right with procurement? Would that be agreeable?
All right, Madam Chairman, the procurement that we're supposed to be doing, we have three drafts. So the one that you want is dated March 17th. So if the members could look at the March 17th draft. And then if they could have, and any questions you have, I'll be open to discuss these with any member. The subcommittee did meet, we met for over an hour and a half. Feelings were unanimous, and I'll be glad to walk anybody through the proposed procedure.
Then we will be getting together again in this room at 5.
No.
In the governor's conference room at 5 next Tuesday. Are there any comments from members of the council before we adjourn? Anyone seeking recognition?
That's March 17th.
Then the council is adjourned.